Welcome to On Tap with Corey and Ira, where they discuss Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. Here's your host, Corey Butler and Ira Carlson.
This is 95 The One, AM 1080 KYMN Radio, coming to you from historic downtown Northfield, Minnesota, streaming live on kymnradio.net. This is On Tap with Corey and Ira. I am Corey Butler.
And I am Ira Carlson.
And we've got a good show today. Ira, why don't you tell the good folks what's coming up on today's show?
Yeah, we got a lot of fun coming up here. Our first on-the-road kind of a visit, we headed down to the Kegs and Barrel Festival down in Rochester. Had a chance to talk to Grand Rounds Brewing, who we had on before, LTS, Kinney Creek, and a little Fermentation Friends in Four Daughters Winery, south of Rochester a little bit. So that was kind of really fun talking to the four of them, finding out how they actually are collaborating together, even though they're competition in that town. And, of course, we had a lot of fun trying all the different beers. Then we'll have Andrew on with the Style of the Week and, of course, some regional news.
And not long after we went down south to Rochester for the Kegs and Barrels Festival, we both headed up north to the Duluth area for separate trips, not together. I was up there a little bit longer than you, and I was fortunate enough to hook up with six different breweries who were nice enough to send home some beer samples for us that we painstakingly have tried the last couple of weeks. Duluth proper is a great little mecca for breweries. Bent Paddle was one of the breweries we both got to check out, and they sent home the Roof Rack Lager, a Vienna-style lager, which obviously is appropriate. Today's September 2nd. It is fall in my book, and this is a great beer to have. Bent Paddle is expanding again and again because they put solid beer after solid beer out, and this is another solid offering. It's their fall seasonal. What do you think?
I really liked it. It was actually the beer that I gravitated to in their tap room. Has just a little bit of a, I don't want to say a spice profile, but just a little bit of extra flavor to it for a lager. But it was really a nice finished beer. I was happily surprised when you gave me a can that they donated to us.
Yeah, you're welcome. And then after that, I headed down to Hoops, which you also made it to. That's a new brewery that just opened up mid to late summer here. Been opened up for a little bit more than a month. Hoops Brewing in Canal Park. It's actually in the in suites on the canal side, or the harbor side, excuse me, of Canal Park. The owner is Dave Hoops, who is really on the Mount Rushmore of brewers in Minnesota. Has been around for 20 plus years. He had been at Fitgers for a number of years. He's the owner of Hoops Brewing, has a lot of influence there, obviously, but he's not the brewer. He has a protege brewing for him, and it's great to see him have his own space. The space is absolutely beautiful. It's a former timber lodge. They've completely reworked that space, and I loved it, and they were nice enough to send us home with a number of beers. I got a little greedy. I didn't share any of them with you, but I know you've had a few of these in the tap room, so that's okay. I think you had the number 48 IPA. Is that correct?
Yeah, I loved this beer. When I went in, we were kind of in the middle of some shopping, and so I didn't have much time to stop. And so I asked the bartender, I said, if I'm going to have one beer, which one should I have? We kind of debated about styles and decided on an IPA, and then there was down to the 21 and the 48. And she recommended the 48 to me, and oh my God, that was probably one of the best beers I've had in a long time. And like you said, beautiful space, wood timbers all abound in there. Obviously a great location down at Canal Park, and the beer was really good. I was very happy I stopped.
Well, that's weird. She recommended the number 21 to me, but maybe it just depends on how you look. Well, you know what? I had both, and they're both very good. They've also got the number 13 UK Pale Ale, number 15 Pale Ale. And as we both discussed on here, we're not big lager guys necessarily. I'm not a big Belgian guy. I'm not sure if you really are. But the number 7 Belgian Pilsner was a very tasty beer. I would have one after another of those. Perfect time of the year for it, too. So thanks to Hoops Brewing for sending home some samples with us. And one last thing about them, it's kind of cool what they're doing with their names. Everything, as you noted, as I just said, are numbers and the style of beer. So it's pretty straightforward, so you kind of know what you're signing up for. It's not a name you have to kind of decipher and figure out what it means. And then the last brewery that sent some beer to us that was from Duluth is Blacklist Artisan Ales, also known as Blacklist Brewing. They just opened up their tap room this year in downtown Duluth. They had been open for a couple years as a production brewery and now have their own space, which is beautiful. Didn't have much chance to stick around and enjoy it. My wife and kids were waiting in the van out on the street. So kind of went in, got my beer, and ran out, unfortunately. Hope to get back there some other time to spend a little time there. But they sent us back with three different beers, the Rhubarb Wit, the Regular Wit, and then the Belgian IPA. I believe I was nice enough to give you one can and got a little greedy, as I'm known to do.
Actually, gave me two. I ended up with both the rhubarb.
Welcome.
Yeah, I ended up with the Rhubarb Wit and the Wit, and I was actually glad that I ended up with both because I cracked open that rhubarb wit, and I was really enjoying it. But then my wife had a taste of it, and I pretty much lost out on the rest of that can. So wife approved on that one, so I moved on to the wit. Yeah, very nice, good, solid beers. I really enjoyed the beer from them.
Yeah, I know I keep saying on the show that I'm not really into Belgians, but Blacklist focuses on Belgian-style beers, and I approve of everything they sent back to us. So maybe I'm coming back around in Belgians. I don't know. Maybe it was a phase I was going through where I wasn't into them. But
the Tanzewald Belgian Strong has been kind of changing my opinion a little bit.
There you go. And then just up the road from Duluth on Highway 61, one of people's favorite breweries in the state, they too, like Bent Paddle, have just been aggressively growing because they're just so well-received, put out great beer after great beer. They're known for their cream ale, I think, but one of my favorite beers they put out, and they were nice enough to send us a sample of it, is their Double Crossing IPA. I think it's probably one of the top IPAs, double IPAs in the state, if not nation. I've had quite a few. I've been trying to work through as many as I can find because, you know, I'm doing this for you people. I want you to know what the good beers are. I put it up against any other double IPA. It's a very solid offering. I think it comes in about 8% alcohol. It's a seasonal beer, I believe, from them, just for the spring and summer. I'm not sure if it lingers into the fall and winter. So make sure you get up there or look for them in the stores. Another big beer that comes from them is George Hunter Stout. That's a little bit bigger of a stout, very roasty, slightly smoky, and really rightly considered one of the best stouts in the state. I hear people talk about them all the time. I've had it a couple times. I was glad to have it fresh. I've had it from the can a few times, and it really does have an element when you have fresh beer, a different element to it. I mean, it just adds character to it. And really, that's how beer should be served, is from the brewery as closest to its original production as possible. That way they have control over it. And we hear that from brewers time and time again. Production and packaging is good, gets them out to people, but you really need to go to the brewery to get the fresh beer. Then up the road farther along in Grand Marais, I stopped at Voyager Brewing Company, and they were nice to send us back with a few growlers of their flagship beers. We had the Boundary Waters Brunette Brown Ale with Wild Rice, one of my favorite styles of beer right now. Any brown ale I can find that's got wild rice in it, I'm seeking it out. This is another good one. I enjoyed it. What'd you think of that one, Ira?
I definitely liked it. It was definitely kind of a nice, smooth brown ale. Didn't have a lot of big bite or flavor, but I definitely enjoyed that one. And then, of course, I also you sent me home with a little bit of the Belgian wheat, which was, you know, a traditional wheat beer, and had a little bit of, again, kind of almost like the Vienna-style lager earlier. Had a little bit of a, don't want to say a spice profile, but a little bit of a extra kick to it. But both of them were very good beers.
Yeah, and that was my full sacrifice. I gave you that unopened growler. The other one I'd given you maybe a half-filled growler left. So let people know that I do take one for the team here and there. But I did also have the Devil's Kettle IPA. It's a very balanced beer from them, from Voyager. It's a little malty, definitely sweet. I'd say it's kind of like a Bell's Two Hearted in some ways. And that's a compliment because Bell's Two Hearted is considered one of the best IPAs in the country. And then the Palisade Porter was also good. I would be remiss, too, if I didn't mention Voyager Space is right across Highway 61 from the lake, which is Superior. And I don't know if it's technically like maybe a harbor, but beautiful view from the brewery space. It's a beautiful building they've built, and they've got plenty of cribbage boards, which kept my father-in-law and I happy. And then finally on the way home, I stopped off in Pine City, a very new brewery, 320 Brewing Company, just opened, I believe, early August. So they've been open maybe a month. Beautiful space. You know, I'm one of those people who've driven by Pine City a number of times, up 35 on my way up to, you know, Hinckley or Duluth or wherever I'm going. But I had never stopped off in Pine City, and I'm glad I did. It's a very nice looking town. Kind of remind me of Northfield a little bit. Pretty quaint little town, nice little downtown shops right along a river. And 320 is just a block off the main stretch through Pine City. Like I said, beautiful space. Unfortunately, I got there a little early before they were open, so I couldn't sit down and have a pint, but I was nice enough to meet with the owners, and they sent me home some beer samples for us. And by us, I mean me, because I didn't share any with you, as I've been known to do. And I'm still working through that lot, but I've had the cream ale and the pale ale, which were both very good. I look forward to having the porter and the red ale. And I think, if not by now, later this week, they'll have their IPA on. I think it's a session IPA, so go check them out. They're not too far away from the cities. They're probably about an hour and a half here from Northfield, hour 40, depending on how fast you drive. And yeah, big shout out to all those breweries. We love spreading the word about Greater Minnesota breweries. Obviously, the Twin Cities has a lot of breweries, and we're happy to talk about them too. But for us, as two Southern Minnesota guys who live in Northfield, we love to wave the banner for all the other breweries. And if you're a brewer or a brewery that would like to send us some beer, we're happy to take it. happy to talk about any beer that people want to send over for samples. And if you're interested in doing so, email us at ontapnorfield@gmail.com. Speaking of the old web, you can find us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. OnTap Norfield on Facebook and Twitter. OnTap with Corey and Ira on Instagram. Hey, and we've got a website. We're at ontapnorfield.com. There you can find all our previous shows and see who's been on here. You can also find those shows on iTunes and other leading podcast platforms, so you can listen to us on the go. And as Ira said at the top of the show, it's going to be a good one. Stick around.
And now, time for Beers of the Week, brought to us by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas. Our first offering today is coming out of Seattle, Washington. It's the Elysian Space Dust IPA. So some of you may or may not be aware of Elysian. It's actually not Elysian, Minnesota, but coming out of Seattle, Washington. But they put out some real good beers. Little FYI, they have been bought out by Big Beer. But that being said, this is some really good beer. I absolutely love this Space Dust IPA. Reminds me a little bit of like a clown shoe. It's really kind of a hoppy, nice bite to it without too much. It's got a comes in at a little high at the 8.2, you know, so you got to be a little careful having these. But this is a really good beer. I really like this one. If you see it on tap anywhere, grab a hold of one of these.
I've also been looking forward to this one, so I'm glad Sean sent it over. At 8.2%, it's actually a pretty mellow, calm beer. You said the hop presence there, which is true, but also the malt comes through, so it's pretty well balanced. It's not going to blow you up on the taste palate there. Definitely pick that one up. The other beer we have here today is just a little west of here, not as far as Elysian, Washington, but maybe just the other side of Elysian, Minnesota, from the August Shell Brewing Company. Maybe you've heard of it, out of New Ulm, historic brewery. I think the second oldest family-owned brewery still in the United States. We've got the Pilsner Beer, one of their foundational beers that people have been drinking for quite some time. As we know on this show, you and I don't tend to be more on the lager side, but this is a very high-quality Pilsner beer. It's the reason why they've been in business for so long and why they're known for what they do. It's a very solid beer. I would definitely drink more of these. It's probably not something I will pick up necessarily right away because it's, again, not my wheelhouse beer, but it's a very solid offering.
Well, this is kind of one of those beers that this time of year is going to be good for getting out there, raking the yard, maybe getting some of that yard work done that you couldn't do when it was a little too hot out there. Yeah, but it's definitely a good beer out of Shell's. You're not going to be blown away by some major, flavor profile, but it's a solid, good beer like Shell's normally likes to put out.
Clean and crisp.
Yep. And if you like either one of these beers or want to try any of the other beers we've talked about on previous shows, just head on down to Firehouse Liquor, south on Highway 3.
Look for the fire truck. All right, now we're coming live from Kegs and Barrels Festival, recorded last month at this Rochester event. It's first of its kind. This event hosted by LTS Brewing, Grand Rounds Brewing, Kinney Creek Brewery, and Four Daughters Vineyard and Winery. We've got someone from each of those groups here. Thanks for coming here, guys.
Thanks for having us. We're glad to be here.
Thank you.
Let's go around the corner, around the horn, and let everybody know who you are. You can tell us who you are, where you're from, kind of how long you guys been open, what you focus on, and where people can find you.
I'm Adam Fredrickson, head brewer down at Grand Rounds Brewing Company down downtown Rochester. We just celebrated 2 years being open here past April. And you can find us right downtown, the corner of Broadway and 3rd Avenue.
And you're a friend of the show as a previous guest, so thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thank you for having me back.
Yep, Donovan.
Hello, I'm Donovan from Kinney Creek Brewery. And we are running into our 5th year of having fun in Rochester, Minnesota. We are currently trying to keep things fun. Is that the best way to put it?
It's a good way to put
it. After 5 years, you learn a few things. So we're in this mix of having a beautiful festival, first of its kind, bringing a new scene to Rochester.
If you're not having fun, why are you here, right?
Exactly.
Hi, my name is Vicki Vogt. I'm one of the owners at Four Daughters Vineyard and Winery and Cidery. We're about 20 miles south of Rochester, but we're excited to be part of the Rochester scene. We do a lot of things in Rochester. So I am excited to be here. Our cider is all over four or five states, so being part of this small community here is exciting for us. So.
And people would be familiar with you with Loon Juice, right?
Loon Juice, correct, yeah. Loon Juice is all over. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'd like to thank everybody else who's here. This is Brandon from LTS Brewing Company, and we're the host site here for this festival today. This is the first annual. Hopefully we'll be doing this again next year. But I'm really happy to have the people who are here. I'm happy to, everybody that's been out. Vicki, you've been a great ad because we can't do wine and we can't do anything other than and cider. We can't do anything other than our own beer and our own site here.
Thanks, Brandon.
And so,
that's nice of you.
And so, you know, I think having like the breadth of the experience, the breadth of the stuff that we can do with all the people who are here is really awesome.
I think we make a great team, all of us.
Well, we've been here a couple hours, Ira and I, and we're having a great time. That's for sure. I've had a couple beverages. I haven't had any wine or cider yet, but
well,
maybe that's next.
Go over and try it.
And this is the Kegs and Barrels Festival. I'd be remiss to say this is also for the Paws and Claws Humane Society. Obviously, you guys came together to benefit them. And we want to talk about the event itself. Obviously, the event now will be in the past. You guys are hoping maybe to do it again next year if everything goes well. I can tell you based on what we've seen so far, it's been a great turnout. We're not even halfway through the day. Who wants to talk a little bit about the event, how it came together, what's been going on today, and why we're here?
Yeah, so this is something that we kind of wanted to do. We started talking about this about 8 to 10 months ago. May have been some different players involved prior to the beginning of the festival planning, but you know, we really wanted to bring everybody together. We wanted to promote the fermented beverages in the Rochester area. It's really easy for us to go down one path and say, this is all craft beer, this is all craft beer, but really there's a lot more to it than that. I mean, there's a lot of consumers out there, myself included, where we want to have a breadth of things together. We want to have beer for people who want beer, we want cider, we want wine, and I think all of us together, we're really just a big community, and I think that it's really beneficial to have us all together. One of the goals I had with this festival, and I think all of us came to it with a slightly different position on what we wanted to do, is I really want to, kind of one of the goals of my brewery, here is to promote the community around craft beer.
Sure.
Obviously, I'm a brewer. I'm one of the owners here at LTS. And so for me, one of the reasons I started LTS was because of that community. And one of the reasons I was able to start it in the first place was because the craft beer community is incredibly supportive of the new people who come in. And I think that's really important. I want to bring all, I want to build more community around this place. And so doing that, huge fan of music. I've done music my entire life. I'm not a musician right now. I have not done anything since high school. But, I have relatives who do. And I think the combination of music, beer, the food trucks that come out to our brewery every week to help support our business. I mean, all of this is great stuff, and it's something that we should really celebrate and we should embrace.
Yeah, you had the fire trucks here earlier. You have a jump house for all the kids, and doesn't get any more family friendly than the pets. How did Paws and Claws get involved in this?
Their head office here in Rochester is right across the street. So I think when we were talking about doing this, there was a common love from everybody that was involved. Who doesn't like pets? Dogs and cats, but also they're right here. So you can honestly, if you're sitting out in the parking lot right now and drinking a beer and you're tall enough, you can probably see the Paws and Claws office from the parking lot.
And also get a big urge to play with a puppy. They got four cute little tiny puppies over there. They're just adorable.
I lost Ira for like 12 minutes. I couldn't find him. I was like, I'm in the beer line. Where the hell did Ira go?
Yeah, our taproom manager here, Carissa, is a volunteer over at Paws and Claws. Here at LTS, we kind of, each one of us, Jeff and I are the owners, and Chris is our full-time taproom manager, and we each have our own kind of cause that we champion. And Carissa's, one of Carissa's causes is Paws and Claws. She volunteers down there. That's her thing. And when we decided to put this thing together, we were looking to support that cause.
Maybe it's too early to ask, but expecting that this goes on annually, do you see a different cause every year? Do you think Paws and Claws might be in the running for every year? Or am I asking questions that haven't been considered yet?
That's a good question. We haven't talked about that.
Well, let me tell you what I think. No, I'm just joking. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to get go away from having actual dogs and cats here. So maybe next year you might just need to rent some if you don't support Paws and Claws.
There will always be dogs and cats that need adoption.
There you go. Well, that's no doubt. Obviously, I alluded to the audience so far. You guys have had a great turnout. What did you guys expect? Adam, we talked beforehand about the response of online ticket purchases, how many tickets each of you guys had sold at your facilities. We didn't know what to expect when we showed up. We were, I don't want to say surprised, but it was awesome to see how many cars were. I couldn't find anywhere to park. Yeah. Like, is this what you expected? And obviously, as it goes on tonight, I'm assuming more people will come once the music comes out, right?
To be fair, we had no idea.
Sure.
I don't think we had a dream and an idea and a budget, obviously, and if we could hit a certain number of people, we could pay back what it costs to put this on and also make a healthy donation to Paws and Claws. And that was the original dream, just to say we did that and to bring people together. And honestly, it's been far better than I think any of us could have imagined so far. And there's, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours to go. So it's gonna be awesome to see what the final tally is. I think we're already blown away by the response, and looking forward to seeing how it all finishes out.
And there is a great turnout here, not maybe for this live recording, but we've got ones of people walking by to the bathroom. We did have one guy hanging out. He left, though, but appreciate the time either way. Brandon, you were mentioning the community around the beer community and the fermentation friends, if you will, and the idea of festivals and getting together and supporting each other. I know Ira was just down at Winona Brewing.
Had a chance to try out Kenny Creek and LTS prior to even coming up here, and yeah, it is fun when you get all the brewers coming together, you know, discussing the beers, everything they talk about. Because it is amazing. You don't see many other industries where competitors, you know, especially in the same market, are actually more than willing to, you know, work together and put together kind of an event. It's pretty amazing in itself.
And what I want to ask based on that was, obviously today you guys have some special releases going on throughout the day. Is that something you guys look forward to for each festival that you're involved in? That obviously you probably bring your standard stuff because you want people to be exposed to it for the first time, but I know, Adam, we were talking earlier, you've got something special on. Brandon, I think you guys have something special on. Do you guys all have something special here today? And then is that something you take advantage of for every time you're involved in some kind of event, just to try something fun and different?
Well, it's funny today because the theme was grapes, which is near and dear to our hearts.
Well, of course, yeah.
So everyone did something with a grape theme. So that was fun. It was fun to do that in a loon juice theme instead of a wine theme for us. So, yeah, We do a lot of specialty things, Firkins, Tab Takeover, Tab Takeovers.
At your space, you do?
Yeah, well, and all
festivals.
All over festivals, yes. So, yeah, we're used to doing something special. Okay.
Anything else fun that you brought today other than the loon juice with the
Just
the
our regulars.
But that stands out, though, right? I mean,
yes,
it's good.
Yes, always.
Everyone knows loon juice.
Yeah, yep, loon juice, our pink sangria, which we just started bottling, so. Yeah.
Well, and I love the Grapes of Wrath, just the name alone.
They come up with some pretty fun
As a Steinbeck aficionado, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that some of the stuff that Vicky's brought today with the canned wines, the Brianna, and the, what is the Pinot?
The sparkling Pinot
sparkling
Noir.
Sparkling Pinot.
Yeah.
Like, some of that stuff is not familiar to most people here, and I've brought a can of that to a party, and I've had people ask me, where'd you get that? You know, and some of that stuff in
just south of town.
Yeah, well, right, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where we're fermentation friends. You've mentioned that before, and I really think that when people are looking for something to enjoy with a meal and something to enjoy for a happy hour or things like that, people who want to go to the liquor store or want to go somewhere and have a drink don't discriminate. Like, we are manufacturers and we make things that people want to drink. And I think if we collaborate together, everyone wins.
That's the fun part for all of us, you know?
So you know, we're really happy to bring people out, expose people to things that they're not finding necessarily every day. Vicky and I and Taylor from Four Daughters just did a tasting event where we paired three different foods with wine and a beer, and we did bad and good, or you know, not as good, yep, and good.
That was just before our much anticipated.
Right.
That's right.
We were holding people back.
Right. And I really think that bringing people together is the point for me.
Yeah. So we're obviously at your home site, beautiful space. I've been here once before. Glad to come back in the daylight. You got a big parking lot. It's filled with people. Did you do anything special for today? I know we're sipping on something. Was this for today or something that was in the tap room anyway?
No, so, I mean, this is a beer.
Ira wants more. Yeah, I'm driving, so you can.
So this is a barrel-aged detente. We did a special bottle release about 3 months ago of Belgian dark strong beer. And we aged that beer with 2% Creek, which is a Belgian tart beer with
not
cherries. And this beer was that beer in a rye whiskey barrel.
It's great.
And it's been in there for about
really
6 months.
I'm trying to have restraints because I want more. But
we always say at the winery, you can't make wine without drinking beer. So it takes a lot of beer to make wine.
And I don't want to make you feel less special, but this beer, we actually did this beer for a couple festivals that we were in.
Sure. Well, yeah.
And we served it for... we have a craft reserve club here at LTS, and we try to put really good beers on tap for people to try, you know, over the course of the year. And this is one of the beers that's on right now, which is why you guys are enjoying it.
That's great. What about you, Donovan? Would you guys bring today anything especially for the event, or just a lot of your standards?
A couple different things. We tried to be a little bit diligent on the outdoor festival, so we didn't try to over alcohol anything.
Sure.
But we brought a blood orange pale ale, which is new to us. It's about 3 weeks old, and it's only less than 5% alcohol, so it's a really nice sessionable beer. And then we also brought a Vixen with a wine blossom infusion on a cask, which is kind of fun, you know, bringing in that whole grape experience. And
kind of the theme there, right?
Yeah, the theme, yeah, and everything. And, you know, ultimately we want to culture this whole fermentation, pouring events that we have the grapes and the beer and all those type of things together. So what better situation is it to be that you can do a firkin of wine blossoms,
sure,
and stuff like that. So that's what we did today.
Yeah, I've seen blood orange pop up a lot lately in the last year or so. It seems like it's a big ingredient that people are trying. Is that the first time you guys have done it?
It is, yeah. We actually just started doing some of the infusions here less than a month ago, and they're taking off unbelievable momentum. So it's a lot of fun for us.
Good. And Adam, I know you've got a whole list of items out there. I've had one or two or three maybe at this point, but... what do you got going on for today?
We maybe brought too many beers today.
No.
Actually, we've got a lot of hours to go. We have a few taps on our jockey box that didn't cooperate, so we're down a few, so I apologize for those of you that were looking for 15.
Ira.
Came in with 13, I'm sorry.
I think Adam was trying to beat me. I don't know.
I think I got close. But
I had the peanut butter jelly time, and I think I was ready for a nap after that one alone.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Great thing.
That was something fun. We were in here, I think, when we talked about doing a great beer a long time ago, and I got in the car with our general manager, Kelly, and she made a comment about peanut butter and jelly and figuring out a way to do that with grapes. So we did a peanut butter jelly beer, which was pretty much Concord grapes that were soaked in port wine for the past month or so, and then infused into a beer.
Wow.
And it turned out oddly well. Those of you who are lucky enough to be here today, I have an assistant that's going to be in a banana suit costume in about 30 minutes, running around the parking lot with the peanut butter jelly time song. I actually think he might be in the costume out there now. So, we're excited about that beer, and it was a fun thing to try, and it turned out oddly well. So,
I threatened to be in a Tyrannosaurus Rex book costume, but I didn't follow through. So he's winning on that front.
Those are trending more than Blood Orange right now.
I think that's probably true. At LTS here, we actually did five different grape beers with five different grape varietal. Four of those are on tap here today. One of them wasn't finished in time, but we tried a lot of different Belgian style beers with those grape musts, and so the beers are really a hybrid of they're more beer than wine, but they have so much grape character that they're a hybrid, and I think they've really turned out well. They're obviously not something that we specialize in, and they're super expensive to make, but I think I've had a really good time with that.
Yeah, and Brandon, you mentioned the positives of having festivals, especially charitable ones like this. Do you guys look at the opportunity to do something like this, equal parts, exposure to new people, the opportunity to do something fun and different, and then also to be part of that community? Is it equal parts? Is one of those ahead of the other? Or why do you like being part of events like this, just any kind of beer expo or any kind of expo that brings people together?
Yeah, I think for us, any kind of expo is different. You know, everyone we go to is a different thing.
This beats being in an arena in January, though, right?
It definitely does. I mean, we couldn't ask for a better day to be outside. It's a little cloudy, but it's perfect temperature. Not raining, not windy. It's awesome. But one of the big things for us, and it's kind of selfish, I guess, is that we're hosting. So people are coming out to our location, and they're a lot of people who don't know we exist are here. And
sure.
So, you know, that's a really awesome thing for us.
I was actually surprised at how much parking you have, you know, your space. You do have a bigger space than most places. You know, Kenny Creek, unfortunately, you're kind of like just, you only have that small little space, kind of a little bit of stuff. And then, you know, Grand Rounds, a little hard time getting parking if you want to get in there and stuff. Yeah.
Vicky's got a bigger parking lot than
yeah.
all of us.
I know, Vicky does have, yeah. She gets the benefit of the country.
Bigger than
stuff,
our whole building.
That's not true.
When you're not in Rochester proper, you got a little space, right?
That's true. Yeah. The fun part for us is that our business is family-based, so being part of the community and being part of this whole thing is super cool for us.
And I think that's the key thing here is everybody here does a lot of beer festivals or a lot of wine festivals or those type of things. And for us to have something that is within 5 miles of our brew house or a winery or, well, maybe 20 miles from a winery, kind of brings a different element to it. I mean, this is about as social local as you can get.
Sure.
And we really thrive to have this opportunity, and we were able to bring it together today, which is awesome.
We'll get back to the product briefly. Obviously, when you guys see these events on the calendar and you're considering doing something a little different, maybe a firkin or maybe a new ingredient, like where do those ideas come from? What's the genesis of doing something with blood orange or maybe the peanut butter jelly or something a little bit deeper that's got a little age to it? Or throwing in a grapes with your cider. Well, where does that come from? Is that something you come across with other people, or you write these wild ideas down all the time?
So for me, it's mostly sabotage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we decided that we were going to do grapes, there were a few of us who weren't present, and we decided we were going to do grapes. And so Donovan just raised his eyebrows.
Oops.
One of those things that we were thinking of at the time, and I thought it was a good idea, and we decided to go with it. But
Brandon had an idea for five different beers, so he recommended grapes when he already had the idea.
In 2012, Brandon wrote down grapes.
If anybody thinks that I have that much time and planning on my hands, that you are just way off. But no,
next year, green grapes.
I honestly think that for me, we were looking for a special ingredient that we could all come together on. We could all do something different with. And the decision was actually made when we were having a meeting at Four Daughters in their tasting room.
So it kind of made sense.
And so I don't know. Maybe it was the wine influence.
Subliminal.
I don't know. But we really we all agreed that all of us that were there agreed that we were going to do a grape beer. Or a grape cider, or a grape whatever. And I haven't had all of them, to be honest. I've had the peanut butter and jelly one.
I haven't tried that
two
one
of yet. The five that we've made here. But you know what? I honestly think that you can make great things out of grapes. And it doesn't have to be wine, but it can be.
But I'm sure, like, we think of things all the time. We're always mixing things in our head and think, well, let's try this or let's try this, you know. I'm sure it's the same for all of you guys, just like us.
All right, as we wrap up here, we hear the music going on outside, so we don't want to keep you long. I know you guys all have obligations elsewhere. Let's just go around the horn here and talk about what maybe you have come up in your space, any special events, any special beverages you're making, and then where people can find you online, social, website, elsewhere. This is your time to plug your business.
Oh, man. This is Adam from Grand Rounds. We just sat this week three different, very different IPAs, so I'm really excited about that. They're going to be on for the next couple weeks, and I plan on remaking those. So our Beer J is our Northeast-style IPA. That people seem to like. We just tapped a strawberry milkshake IPA for today. And then our Most Citra Mill Problems is a big 8-9%, depending on the brew. Mosaic Citra.
Sounds like more problems there.
IPA that can cause you a lot of problems. That's where my big focus is right now, dialing some of those in and appeasing the hop heads that
got any
be
big,
growing by the day.
Do you have any big Oktoberfest stuff coming?
We do, actually. It's I can't spill all the secrets yet, but there is an Oktoberfest in the works that I might even invite you guys down to if this episode turns out okay.
Ira, that means heavily edit what Adam just said.
Make that really loud. Everything's small and quiet after that. Yeah.
There you go.
For me, I'm not a big social media guy at all, but I do run the Grand Rounds Instagram, and it's awesome. outside of that, I can't claim anything, but if you want to know anything about Grand Rounds that's at least beer-related, the Instagram is at Grand Rounds Brew, and that's all me.
Cool.
Thank you guys for coming.
This is Donovan with Kenny Creek, and The fun part of this whole situation is as things change, the culture changes, the depth of our hopes and dreams change. So we just did our first Cool Ship spontaneous fermentation 2 weeks ago, and scared me to death. But we're putting them in some red wine barrels, which is kind of a fun situation. But the problem is we're not going to see it for about 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
And we might have a couple releases here and there, but on the same thought, we're trying to do a little bit of flexing here as we get to be more comfortable with our equipment and more comfortable with our location. We have a Wings and Brew Fest coming up in about 30 days. We're also working on Oktoberfest-y type events. I was actually talking to some of the group here about doing some of these same style events here in Rochester and opening it up to more venues, which I think would be an awesome situation. So, keep tuned.
Cool. Vicky?
Hi, this is Vicky at Four Daughters Vineyard and Winery. We have a lot of exciting stuff coming up. We have our first lobster boil of the season next Friday.
Oh.
So we're sold out. We've been sold out for about 4 months, so we added a second one.
Unfortunately, if you're listening to this, you missed it, but I'm sure
that's
it was
right.
Great.
But it was sold out. It was sold out.
The September one we added is almost sold out, so okay. Excited about that. We have a lot of new things coming in the cidery, always new flavors, canned wines coming out, sparkling, so great stuff. Check us out at FourDaughtersVineyard.com. Lots of events, and we're glad to be here. Thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks for being on.
Yeah, so this is Brandon, LTS. Yesterday was our 2-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
This isn't the anniversary party, but it's as close as we're going to get this year.
We'll take it.
Easy to double up, right?
Honestly, I'd rather spend our anniversary with friends than by ourselves. So
sure.
I'm really happy that everybody could come out and, we've got a few things coming, you know, they might be a little bit more distant. We just got a bottling line a couple weeks ago, a week and a half ago. It's really small, so what we're going to be focusing on, distribution side, bottles, is going to be high-end stuff. We're drinking the Barrel Aged Detente right now. I didn't do this on purpose, but it feels like a good segue. Barrel Aged Detente is one of the beers I'm super proud of.
You did show up with a pitcher, though.
I did show up with a pitcher.
That was so good.
It was totally selfish. I really just wanted to drink
it. It wasn't
beer.
For us. But I know. I'm enjoying it, though. That's really a tasty beer.
We really started to do some barrel aging stuff in the back in the brewery. I'm one of the owners in the brewer here. Carissa handles most of the front of the house stuff. She's done great things for us with this festival and with the front of the house over the last couple of years. But back of the house side, we started doing some barrel aging, and we also started to do some more higher end beers that we're really trying to get out there in front of people. And that bottling line is going to help us do that. So that's really what's coming up for us. Otherwise, you know, it's great to see so many people coming out. I'm ecstatic with the turnout today.
I think we all are.
I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you.
I'm really hoping that the bands tonight, everybody enjoys it and everybody has a good time.
Yeah, we're going to stick around for a while. We appreciate you guys having us out. We've had a great time. We've been here for a few hours, and
we'll
probably enjoy ourselves a little bit longer. Ira more than me because I'm driving. But that's the way it goes when you volunteer.
Yeah, I was planning to drive up today, and all of a sudden you offered to give me a ride. I'm like, yes.
Whatever. Well,
he was going to bring the missus. I was going to bring the family. It didn't work out. So, hey, we should, you know, take one car.
Yep.
Carbon footprint, all that stuff, right? So, Adam, good to see you again. Friend of the show. We've had you on before, and always good to see you.
Thank you guys for coming, and thank you for supporting everything that we do and spreading the word. We appreciate it.
Donovan, Vicky, Brandon. Nice to meet you guys. We would love to have you on the show in the future up in Northfield, and thanks for having us.
We'll make it worth your while. You can do the little tour up there. By the time you guys come up, we'll have three breweries. So
there you go.
If you come on the right day, you'll be able to sample a little bit there, too. So.
And a couple cideries and a distillery.
Yep.
So we're a hotbed.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Cheers.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Andrew Burns, and today we're going to talk about one of my favorite styles, Schwarzbier. It's spelled like Schwarzbier, but a lot of people just call it a black lager. Now, this is a great beer to trick your friends with because it looks dark, 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 like you think it's going to taste like chocolate and coffee, maybe like a stout. But when you drink it, it's surprisingly clean and crisp, and if you put a blindfold on, you might even think you're drinking a Pilsner or something really light. So it's one of those great beers that fits into any season. It's got a hint of dark roasted flavor, but at the end of the day, it's a really crisp, easy, drinkable beer.
And now time for regional news. Join us in 2 weeks when we're walking around the historic Grain Belt Brewery Complex for the 17th annual Autumn Brew Review. This highly heralded and attended event hosted by the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild is the perfect transition to fall and fall and winter beer. More than 140 breweries are participating, with live music, food vendors, and beer educational sessions and tours also filling the day. Head to mncraftbrew.org for more information.
Yes, the Entertainment Center on Bridge Square usually plays host as the epicenter of Defeat of Jesse James Days, but this year you'll have an opportunity to check out another spot as Armory Square and Imminent Brewing will host a mini craft beverage fest over the weekend, which will include adult beverages from Imminent, Tanswald Brewing, Loon Liquor, Chapel, Keepsake Cidery, and a few other guests. It'll be a fenced-in area with wristbands being required. Look for more details on the Imminent Brewing website and Facebook page.
That's going to put a wrap on this show. Thanks to the folks from Rochester. That includes Adam from Grand Rounds, Donovan from Kinney Creek, Vicky at Four Daughters, and Brandon at LTS for hosting us and giving us a little bit of your time. We had a great time at the festival, and we look forward to visiting you guys all in the future. That's going to be a 335-hour break for us. That means 11 a.m. Saturday, September 16th. We're right back here on 95-1 with Jason Markula, head brewer at Bank Brewing. Until then, you can look for us on social and the web. We're at Facebook and Twitter at OnTap Northfield. And on Instagram at OnTap with Corey and Ira. And on Facebook, you can find out all our future guests we've got coming up. Just this past week, I put on a big guest here coming in October. I'm not going to say who it is. I want you to go check out Facebook. Throw us a like. It's a big name from a big brewery. I'll say that much. So look for us on there. Again, we're back in 2 weeks. Next week, make sure you give Northfield Outdoors a listen at 11 a.m. Until we see you in 2 weeks. Cheers.